and have a seat. And thank you for your singing this morning.
As the screen up there mentions, it is Pastor Dave's birthday this morning, so make sure you send him a text or an email or something just to wish him a happy birthday, because he is in Tennessee this morning, just getting a little bit of time away and just a little bit of relaxation with his wife and one kid. They took Lincoln with them, but the rest of them got to stay here and enjoy some time. So make sure you wish him a happy birthday next week when he gets back. But this morning you got me, and we'll look at a passage this morning. If you open your Bibles to Galatians 5 and verse 16. Now, I'm always hesitant during my messages to mention food, especially Sunday morning, to mention food. And I know last time I spent a decent amount of time talking about this wonderful steak meal I had at a steakhouse in Brazil, and I won't reiterate that, because I'm sure that will get you thinking about lunch, and we need to be thinking about God's word this morning. But again, today I have failed, and we're going to talk about food, and I promise I won't go into steakhouses or anything. This morning we're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit. So if you enjoy fruit, hang with me, and you'll get lunch a little bit. But today I want to look at the fruits of the Spirit, but also the verses that come a little bit before them. So if you go and open your Bible to Galatians 5:16, we'll go ahead and read our passage, and then we'll walk through it. Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For they're opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Before we go through these verses, let's pray and ask God's blessing on the time in his word this morning. God, thank you so much just for this opportunity to dig into your word. Lord, thank you for the truths that you have for us this morning. I pray that you would just be glorified in and through this, in your name. Amen. First I want to see in verses 16 through 18, there we go, get the PowerPoint working, that we need to walk according to the Spirit. Verse 16, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." This is very simple. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, then you're not going to gratify the desires of your flesh. You want the solution to saying no to your fleshly desires. And we're going to look at those fleshly desires in a little bit. It says walk in the Spirit. It's just that simple. You want to say no to sin and yes to obeying God. It's very simple, walk in the Spirit. And we're going to look at that. We look at the fruit of the Spirit in a little bit. This has an effect on every choice we make. If we're walking in the Spirit, then we're not going to be gratifying our fleshly desires. If we're actively saying no to our sin, then we're not going to be gratifying any desires of our flesh. Verse 17, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh." There's a war going on between our sinful desires and the Holy Spirit, and this is constant. We're sinners. We go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned, and ever since then, men have been born sinners. And there's this constant war going on between the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian this morning, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and our desires, our sinful desires. And Paul here is writing to the church at Galatia, and he's saying, guys, listen, I get it. There's this war going. The Christian life, it's not, once you get saved, you don't automatically, it's easy to not sin. There's a battle going on, and we need to fight it. The flesh and the Spirit will never go together. The desires of the Spirit, of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They're opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. I always, when I read this verse, I think of magnets. And when I was a kid, I would play with magnets, and I would enjoy that. But you always, you know, easily stick them together and they'll find their magnetic points. But then I would, when I get bored of that, I would try to stick the ones that weren't supposed to go, the opposite poles, and try to squish them together, and they would never go together. And that's kind of what I think of when I think of the spirit in our flesh. No matter how hard you try to get those magnets close to each other, they never will. And that's the thing. The spirit and our flesh are so opposite that they can never go together, just like those magnets could never, ever touch. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Back in the time Paul was writing to the Galatians, the church at Galatia, they were still trying to get over, this was shortly after Christ died, and they were no longer held to the law. They were no longer, they didn't have to make sacrifices anymore. And they were still getting used to that idea, and Paul was reminding them, no, once you get saved, once you have confessed your sins and accepted Christ into your heart, you're no longer bound to that. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of that, and you're led by the Holy Spirit, as this verse says. And I have a note in my study Bible that says this: led by the Spirit implies an active personal involvement in guiding Christians. And it's in the present tense, and this indicates that this is an ongoing activity. God is very active in our lives. If you're a Christian here this morning, God has a very personal involvement in our lives, and He wants to guide us and direct us. And we see in the present tense, this is ongoing. God is going to continue doing this. And every day we're faced with this choice: am I going to walk according to the Spirit? And we're going to see a little bit more what that entails in a little bit. Or am I going to give into my fleshly desires? Every day we're tempted. We're bombarded by worldly desires coming at us. And we need to make an active choice to walk in the Spirit. And now the second thing I want to look at this morning, I think I got it up there, you know, the works of the flesh. And these are found in verses 19 through 21. And he gives a list here. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. I like how he finishes that: just in case I left anything out. And things like these. Let's go through a few of these that are a little more common to us and that we can really apply to our lives, because these are things that Paul's saying that you need to look at these. I look at the one of idolatry, and that one for me as a kid, you know, growing up in kids' church, I would see we had flannel graphs back in when I was in kids' church, but they'd put up pictures of golden idols that people would bow down to, and I always thought that's what an idol was. I don't have a golden image in my living room. I don't bow down to that. But we do have idols in our lives. And what could those idols? For me, as a child, it was sports. I love sports. I love playing sports. I love watching sports. I didn't care what kind of sport it was. I loved it. And it came to be a point where my parents realized this, and they said, Jacob, this is too much. You are spending too much time. You're not focusing on your school. You're not focusing on God's word. And you can't wait to get out of church to go home and watch football. And this is ridiculous. So they took away all of my sports. They even took away the newspaper, so I couldn't even read the sports section of the newspaper. And it was like something I couldn't function for a little bit. And it was an idol in my life. And we have to be careful that we don't put anything that we put above God as an idol. How about sleep? I truly enjoy sleeping. You can ask Nikki. I love sleep. I love sleeping in the morning, and it's just something I enjoy. But when we choose to value that sleep over a time in the Word with God in the morning, that sleep has become an idol. We're worshiping our sleep. And many more things. I'm sure you can think of things that we put before God. TV, many different things. Friends could be another one that we put more important than God. Enmity and strife, these two are kind of connected. That idea of just a strife. I don't know if anybody's watched the presidential debates recently. There's some strife and enmity going on there, and very loud bickering back and forth. And we don't need that. That's a work of the flesh. That is our sinful desires coming through. And when we don't get along with for me growing up, I did not get along very. I had a younger brother that I didn't get along with very well. And since then, I've done much to mend our relationship, but there was a strife, a battling going on in between us. And that can happen with our family, our coworkers, our friends, jealousy. This one is kind of a sneaky one. We don't think about this one a lot, but when we're not content with what God has given us. I enjoy woodworking, and that's something I enjoy doing. And the way I learn a lot of things is going on YouTube and watching other people woodwork. And I'll see them, and they have some very, very nice tools that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And I can sit there and look at them and watch them and sit there and stew and not be content with what God's given me. I can be jealous of what they have. And this applies to so many areas of our lives, of our jobs, of our positions in our jobs. And this can happen with a lot of things, fits of anger. We talk about getting angry. We can go back to the election again and see some fits of anger there. But what about when we're on the road, somebody cuts us off, and things like that? Do we choose to get angry and lash out back at them? That's a work of the flesh. That's our sinful, that's our sin coming out. That's not walking in the Spirit. Envy, kind of along the same lines of jealousy. When we envy somebody's situation or somebody's things, we're not being content with what God has given us. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I love that. Just in case I left anything out. Just in case, you know, you think of something that I didn't put in this list of, I think, 15 things. It's here. It's a work of the flesh. Paul warns his audience, and this is not for the first time that he warns them. It says in the end of verse 21, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he's not talking to believers here. One, we accept Christ as our Savior. We can never lose our salvation. Once saved, always saved. God has a promise of God, and I'm so thankful for it, because I mess up on a daily basis, and God continues to say, no, you're mine. I will never let you go. And this is talking to, he's talking to people that are without Christ here. He's saying, I'm warning you that if you're doing these things, this will result in eternal separation from God. And if you're here this morning and you're without Christ, if you never accepted him as your personal believer, I encourage you to come talk to me afterwards, and I'd love to sit down and talk to you about that. And as I mentioned before, you don't have to look far around. You can look in your own life. You can look around on the news and the election and see these works of the flesh manifesting themselves. When we don't walk in the Spirit and we give into our flesh, it's not a pretty picture. It's life without God. And when we choose to live that, even as Christians, we choose to take God out and live for ourselves. This is what it looks like, and it's not pretty. All right, now what I really wanted to get to this morning, the fruits of the Spirit. I could preach a whole message on maybe even each one of these, but we won't this morning. And we'll just go through each one. But a lot of these are attributes of God, and things that we need to emulate, things that we need to try to be like God with. So the first one, love. And I love that it starts out with love. The greatest example of love that was ever given, John 3:16, I believe it's up there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world. That isn't talking about who's living right now. That's talking about anybody that's ever lived, anybody currently living, and anybody that's ever going to live in the future. God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. And it didn't stop there. He didn't die on the cross for our sins and say, all right, enough is enough. I died. That was a lot. You know, I went through a lot for you. I'm done. No, every day we sin, and we sin against him, and he says, you know what? I still love you. I'm going to forgive you. And we do. We disappoint him on a daily basis. And we need to be so thankful for his love for us. And how can we show this love? We need to be so thankful that this love is shown to others around us and being willing to give of ourselves. And the second one, joy. I'm going to leave a verse for this one. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I will say rejoice. This verse doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when you're having a good day, when everything's going smoothly, when you're getting a promotion at work, when the bills are all paid. No, it says rejoice in the Lord always. At any time, any season of life, we need to rejoice in the Lord. And this should be a noticeable. When we have joy in our lives, those around us, our coworkers, our friends, should be able to see a difference. Should be able to say, you're happy. Why are you so happy? This should be something that just comes out of us. This is a great opportunity to just show that you have true joy. People try to find joy in things. People by cars and houses and all sorts of things. And that does not bring true joy. Those cars will break down and those houses eventually will perish. But what will stand is God and his word. The next one, I don't have a verse for this one, but peace. I read one commentary and he said that we're no longer enemies of God, and that peace that comes from that results in a confidence and a freedom in approaching God. We have peace with God. We're not enemies with God. Because we're Christians, we have this peace that we can just freely go to God and talk to him at any time. Next one, patience. And this goes along. Sometimes life doesn't go as planned, and we say, how do I have a peace? The Bible talks about, I believe it's in Philippians, a peace that passes all understanding that we can have because we know God's in control. But sometimes when life doesn't go right, we say, God, I need answers now. And this is where patience comes in. It's following God's plan for our lives and waiting on that. God knows our future. In Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives this morning. And sometimes we don't understand that. And we say, God, what are you doing right now? You're up to something in my life, and I don't know what that is. And that's where patience comes in. So often we rush that, and we say, all right, I know what's best. I need to figure this out. I need to have a plan for the future. And is it my way or the highway? And that's not the case. We need to wait on God and be patient because of his plan for our life. The next one, kindness, Romans 2:4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? We talk about God's love all the time, and then he died because of his love. But how about just his kindness and the fact that this verse even says, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. This idea of kindness can manifest itself in many areas of our life. When I was a kid, our family verse was Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I'm pretty sure I had that verse memorized by the time I was in preschool, because whenever I was not kind to my brother, not kind to my sisters, I would get a little sheet of paper and a pen, and I would write that verse over and over and over again until I decided that I needed to be kind to my brothers and sisters. And that was Mom's way of reinforcing this idea of kindness. And this is an attribute of God. We do talk about his love all the time, but just simply his kindness, and that it's meant to lead us to repentance. We'll keep going in our list. His goodness, kind of along the idea of his kindness, working for the benefit of those around us. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are the household of faith. As opportunities come up, and this is not just something that we need to, just think about every once in a while. This is something we need to be actively doing every day of our life. As opportunities come up, do good to everyone. This doesn't just mean the people you like. You say, oh, well, I like them. I'm going to be nice to them today. I'm going to help them out. No, this means to everyone, our coworkers. Maybe you have somebody at work that you may not like. Maybe they annoy you, and maybe they get in your way sometimes. But this idea of goodness is working to the benefit of those around you. And I like the end of this verse, especially to those who are out of the household of faith, to Christians. And that's our body of believers. And that's why we come to church. We don't come to church to sing and tithe and hear God's word preached. Those are all very important. One huge aspect of church is this idea of fellowship and helping those around us out. And we can because we are Christians and we have this common goal. And we need to come to church to encourage, to be encouraged by others, but also encouraging others is such a, don't just come to church to have people encourage you. That's easy to do, just to sit and, people can come encourage me today. Get get up and get around and make sure you ask somebody about their day and encourage those around you as we continue to walk through our list here. We get to faithfulness. And faithfulness applies to so many areas of our life. But I think of one thing that Christ was faithful, and Christ was faithful to the cross. And Christ was, when he came to earth, he was 100% God, but yet he was still 100% man. He felt everything that we feel, the pain, the suffering of that cross. He felt every last bit of it. It was not dulled in any bit. And at any moment, he had the power to call tens of thousands of angels to come and minister to him and say, I'm done. This is too painful. I'm done. Get me off this cross. And he had the power to do that, but yet he was faithful to the end so that we could have forgiveness from our sins. And this idea of faithfulness applies to so many different areas of our life, and especially with our walk with God. We need to be so faithful to our walk with God, faithful to church, faithful to our giving to the Lord, faithful to spend time with him every day. This is an idea that we need to just be faithful to God because he's been so faithful to us. Gentleness. Here we go. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I will be able to find rest for your soul. We think of God and his power. We talk about God being all-powerful. You look at creation, and he created the world by just speaking. You look at Noah's flood and the many different instances throughout the Old Testament, and then you see him dying on the cross and conquering death. God is all-powerful, but at the same time, we see in this verse, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. If God was just as all-powerful and that was all he was, that would be amazing. But at the same time, he can be gentle and he can minister to the lowliest of people and he can connect with them. God is all-powerful, but yet at the same time, and because of this, we can rest in him. We don't have to be afraid of resting in him. All right, and our last one here, self-control, being able to resist the power of the flesh. And we saw that list, and I won't read through it again, but that list of different works of the flesh that we found in verse 17. And that is just self-control, saying no. I'm going to say no to sin and yes to God. A few weeks ago, we had a yard sale, and Nikki decided to bake some cookies and some muffins and some pumpkin bread. And Nikki's a very good cook. And she probably spent 2 days baking, and the house was smelling so good. And I walked into the dining room, and the whole dining room table covered in food, very delicious, sugary food that I would have loved to just sit down and one bite at a time eat all of it. But for a few reasons, that was a bad idea. Nikki would have been very upset with me, and probably not the most healthy thing in the world. And it took self-control, saying no to self. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go devour all those cookies and those muffins and just do that. And that took a self-control, saying, no, I'm not going to do that. If we go back to verse 16, it says to walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's what this looks like. These attributes of God that we need to emulate, to walk in the Spirit. And we will not gratify desires of the flesh. And that's what these verses are giving us. In order to resist our fleshly desires, we need to become more like Christ. And now this is not an overnight process. You're not, when you get saved, you're not, you know, as I mentioned before, it's not automatically, all right, I'm like Christ. This is a lifelong process that we will continue to do for the rest of our lives. And it's a daily thing. We need to decide, all right, today I'm going to say no to sin and yes to God. I'm going to be like Christ today. I'm going to put on these fruits of the Spirit. And every day I still struggle with these, and I need to go back. I need to have patience. I need to be kind. I need to be faithful to God's word. I need to have self-control, not to eat cookies and do other things that are sin. But those are the fruits of the Spirit. And one more verse this morning, verse 24. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires and passion. The only power that sin, if you're a Christian here this morning, the only power that sin has over our lives is the power that we give to it. If we are giving sin the power in our lives, that's not something. The devil has no power over us. That's what the verse says here. I've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When we sin, that's us choosing to say no to God and yes to sin. And that needs to not be the case One more verse here this morning. There it is. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. We're not tied to sin anymore. And the only power that that sin does have in our lives is what we give it. So I hope this helps you this morning. Just to look at our lives and to look over that list. And maybe you're struggling with something this morning that maybe not on that list. But is a work of the flesh. I know it's not an exhaustive list, but we look through our Bible and we see different things that we struggle with. And those can be combated by walking in the Spirit. And this list, the fruits of the Spirit, is a great example of where we can start applying these to our life. So let's close in prayer. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these fruits that we can try to emulate and try to put on as we decide to walk with you and forsake our fleshly desires. Lord, we love you, and I pray as we go throughout this week that we would think on these things, that we would forsake our fleshly desires, and we would just live for you. Lord, thank you for your word and the power it has over in our lives. In your name, amen. Thank you for coming out this morning. Pastor Dave will be back, I believe, Tuesday. And so if you have any questions, you can go email him. Have a great day.